Hello. Hello there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Pre-Match Mooty.
Mooty. Need to work
on yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, we've never had an introduction, so you created one now. So we can't just jump in, you know?
No, but you did, and I think you started something now. Wonga, what do you think? You didn't jump in, so you wanna try it again?
I know, I'm good, bro. Chill as life. I think you had it there, bro. You can you go for it, bro.
Right, gentlemen, for everyone you obviously the gentleman, but for everyone watching us in the house, we've got Wonga Denga the Denga Nectar, aka Dengasaurus, whatever you want to call him. And then, of course, we've got the devil himself. Don't look him in the eyes, because he will convince you to do something you don't want to and admit that Martial's a good player. So just don't look him in the eyes. But long story short, that's Selo Lolo Kale. Welcome.
I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna say anything. All I gotta say is West Ham fans and Man City fans will be happy that Benrahma and Mahrez are coming back. They're losing right now, so yeah, they're gonna be out of the tournament. But yeah, such a poor defense of their title. Like, they were defending champions. They just scored their first goal in the tournament now. Imagine in the third game. Ridiculous. That's ridiculously poor.
But didn't he come out, Mahrez, saying he wanted to leave anyway? He wanted to go back home to the UK as soon as possible.
Oh, Hector. No, I didn't know that.
No, he said he was over it. I read that somewhere. I could be misquoting this, but that's kind of the vibe I got. Also, shout out there. Pumalani in the house. Louis Murray in the house. Guys, give them a special shout out. They're here.
How's it going? Pums and Louis, how are you guys doing?
But yeah, Silla, that game, was that a penalty, bro? I'm just curious if anyone else saw it.
Soft.
Yeah.
Soft.
It's just soft. Yeah,
the South African Portuguese ref gave her a soft penalty.
Hey, you know, I met that guy.
Have you met him?
Or is it?
Yeah, I've met him at a family function. Also, he's the best ref I've ever experienced here locally when I played. He's the only ref.
No,
let me tell you. 100%.
Mr. Yellow Cards.
We need to get him on the show, because out of all the games I've ever played, it was the one time I actually had a ref in my corner. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, because you guys speak the same language, obviously.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean? Obviously, you know what I mean?
So you're saying all the times I did play, I didn't speak the same language, and that's why the other players got defended over me. I get what you're saying, though. And I also don't speak the same language
as a Zulu guy. I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to play football, man.
No, but it's distinct. You can feel it when a ref's blowing for you and against you, and I just enjoyed it. The best ref I ever had was him, because it was the one time where I got away with one or two things, and he was like, no, he's like, Claudio, I got you. I was like, thanks, chief. Yeah. Anyway, gentlemen, let's chat about the football, especially the football that happened last night. It's up to you guys. Transfer window first, and everyone listening, you want to discuss updates of transfer window or the games last night?
Transfer window first.
Let's do it.
I heard now what killed me, and I think I stand with Barcelona behind it. This whole Dembele saga, they've given him, every time you hear them, they're giving him a new contract, he's quiet. And now they've said, okay, you want to be quiet? Stuff you, go away. Now they've given him, they said him and his agent, giving him until the 31st to get out of there. And yeah, I think, it's obvious that he wants to go, so I think Barcelona played it right. Why waste our time?
He wants money. That's what he wants. He wants, because they want him to take a pay cut, right? Barca are making most of the players take pay cuts, right? Because obviously they're trying to balance the books. So everyone, they what's this? Titi got a pay cut, but 5-year contract, whatever. He wants not to get a pay cut, right? Which is, I understand as well. Yeah. Imagine, Wonga, I'm paying you £150,000 a week. And now I'm telling you that you must now get £100,000 a week. Are you going to take it?
Look, you see...
Good question.
Yeah, that's true. But if you look at Dembele's case, I think for him, I think Barcelona would have a point to, you know, sort of... argue. I mean, yo, the guy's been, they've also been carrying him as well, you know. Last season he played 30 games. The season before that he plays 5, you know. This season he's played 6, you know. So in a sense, Barcelona has carried him as well. You know, they've been with him to make sure they've been, yeah, he's only played 6 in the league. He's played 6 in the league, you know, and now, you know, if you're looking at it like that, I mean, they also had a rough financial period, but they're still, obviously, I'm sure they've paid up his salary, you know, and now they're just, obviously things are bad. I understand it's not Dembele's fault, but you think now you're part of the club and now you've given him, sort of many offers. And I don't think if you look at it, in fact, I actually haven't looked at the offers myself, so I can't really comment on it. But I would think that Barcelona have come there and said, look, we've also, you know, we've been here through the years. We're just asking you just to help us out through this period, you know, the same way with you. And the guy has kept quiet.
But Bonga, help him out for what period, though? Because, I mean, it is his livelihood. I understand he's well taken care of and he hasn't played. But why should he, if he's got the option to go somewhere else and get paid a little bit more, if not the same, and take a wage cut in a club that's in complete disarray. Also, he's come out saying, these are his exact words. I forbid anyone to give the impression that I'm not involved in this sports project, because that's what Barcelona have come out saying. He doesn't want to be involved.
Yes.
He says, I forbid anyone to attribute intentions to me that I never had. I forbid anyone to speak for me or my representative who I trust completely. Still under contract, I am fully involved and at the disposal of my club, my coach. I've always given everything for my colleagues and also for all the partners. It is not now that is going to change. He said one last thing. He says, I'm not a man who cheats. That's an interesting statement. And still less a man who has a habit of giving into blackmail. But also, he is a man who makes racist jokes from time to time towards Asians. So that's also, I mean, take that as a pinch of salt. So, that is Dembele.
Yeah, that was him and Griezmann. Yes. These footballers do have their flaws, but I think, yeah, man, at the end of the day, listen.
That's so nice of you.
You gotta look after your pocket, guys. You gotta look after your pocket. But I think at the end of the day as well, if I was Barcelona, I'd let him go. He's been an injury-prone player.
100%.
There are other teams in Europe who have a bit of budget. You know, I think obviously a Newcastle has a bit of a budget. I think he would be ideal at a Newcastle. I think Newcastle should sign him.
Yeah, I think I agree still in that sense. Like, you know, he must take care of himself. But again, I still also feel that, you know, Barcelona have made the right decision as well. It's just if he's not going to meet it now, then yeah. But maybe in the way they've. I mean, hearing what you're saying, in the way, the way they've done it, I mean, trying to make him look like a bad, they are making him look like a bad person, releasing, I mean, Sal's desperate like that, but yeah,
very desperate. I mean, like, if you really consider the amount of money they spent on him, they were desperate for it to work out, and I think they tended to turn a blind eye to most things that he did. I just want to comment on the fact Jason's saying, just come to Liverpool, Dembele to Liverpool. Look, we know Dembele's got a lot of potential, but it's all that other shit he brings with him that, is he worth it? And I know you said, or you've touched on the fact that Newcastle should be an option for him, but won't you just disrupt a Newcastle? If he had to go to Newcastle now, I don't think he adds to them surviving. I think he causes more turmoil, personally speaking. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Man, I think sometimes he just needs some quality. You know, he's got quality. So yeah. I think one thing that Dembele does very well, right, is that because he plays with both foots, you know, he can cross a ball, you know, left, right, and obviously you've got Woody there in the middle, and you've got obviously Wilson in the middle. So I think obviously from a football perspective, he adds quality in the final third, which obviously goals wins you matches, and obviously can create chances. But yes, in terms of mentality, he won't help them in terms of mentality. You look at Trippier. Trippier already, from a quality point of view and a leadership point of view, you know, can see Trippier as a person who's actually adding in quality, leadership, and all facets of the game, actually, you know what I mean? But Dembele, yes, he will. The attitude part is lacking. The quality is there on the football front, but the attitude. So you don't know what version of Dembele you can get, which does suck. So you're taking a gamble on a player that you don't know which side is going to wake up in the morning, you know, or if he's going to wake up, because obviously sometimes also he sleeps at night playing video games, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so do you think
you
like a manager?
I said so it's like you don't want to be. I mean, babies, you can't be changing the guy's attitude now. I mean. At his age, I can't see. Like, people are saying he's going to go to Newcastle. Good player. I honestly, if I'm thinking about Newcastle, they're wanting to build, they're building something. Dembele will be a waste of money. That's the honest truth for me. He would be a waste of money. You don't know if he's not going to get, if he gets injured. If that injury of his pops up again, then he's not going to play. So now what you going to do now? But then again, okay, now he's fully fit, but now he's coming to our training sessions late. But he's that good now. We must play. It's problems. Why buy an expensive headache? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. There's many players. I would leave him alone.
Why buy an expensive headache, especially when you can get them for free? I agree there. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
But then, so where would he do well? Where would he do well?
You would do. Chikara, the thing is, he would do well in any team. Just like Sero said, he's a good player.
He must just stay. It's the only way I think he can actually get himself like I think he could go to like a Juventus, but at the end of the season, where he's for free, because at least Juventus then can still match his wages. But yeah, because he probably wants the money, right? At Barca, he has to take a pay cut for like another contract. Also you have to wait up. He's 25 years old this year. I think as well, you need to also humble yourself as a player sometimes as well, and just say, let me just have a full season of no injuries, and do well for this club type of thing. You know what I mean? Because obviously at Barca he hasn't obviously lived up to expectations, and has spent so much money just to get him to Barca. It's actually been a disappointment, if I'm being honest. Apart from like a couple of moments of brilliance, but I think when you're 25 years old, man, you need to really consider your next move, because you could end up being that footballer that we like. Father, yo, man, Hatem Ben Arfa, that guy was so good. Yo, man, what a player. You know what I mean? You can think about you like, yo, you used to be good. You know what I mean? Like Balotelli, as you're saying as well, you used to be good. You know what I mean? You know, great, a striker that on his day could obviously terrorize any defense. But
flip.
Let's make the decision.
So just to come back to this comment and move off the Dembele topic, he's consumed a lot of our time here, but Jason's saying Newcastle's still in big trouble. With a week to go, they need a couple more important signings. Obviously, a couple of names have been thrown out there. One name that we do need to mention, obviously, is the one that seems to be edging closer towards the line, despite the fact of them facing competition from another Premier League club, Diego Carlos, which would be probably a really big signing for them in terms of what they need towards the end of the season to stop the goals.
Fabrizio Romano says that a 30 million euro offer has been turned down by Sevilla.
Oh, so they want more money. That makes sense. From who? Did they say Newcastle?
From Newcastle.
Yeah, from Newcastle's proposal, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll want 40, I'm sure. Of course, they're going to get as much as they can out of that. We will touch on the Pierre Emerick Aubameyang sort of situation, Wonga. So just get ready for that question. But I suppose the player I want to talk about is the Lingard. Do you think a Lingard will be the player that Newcastle can really utilize towards this end sort of escape of the season, if it's possible for them? You think Lingard can be that difference?
I think, I mean, you saw what he did at West Ham. And then Newcastle probably playing week in, week out. The Lingard seems like, is probably most opposite of Boyd and Bale. It's pretty much more focused. You're not going to have problems on that side. If utilized properly, I think he could be a very, very good asset for them, especially compared to what Newcastle have at the moment, definitely. I think it would be problematic.
Also, you know what's problematic is the statement here, Jason, saying Diego Carlos has made the most errors that have led to goals in the league. That's a bit worrying. If they're going to be spending 40
million. Sounds like a shocker
there. Yeah. He has been linked with the Liverpools and the likes in the past. So that's an interesting sort of stat there from Jason. The other player, let's talk about Aubameyang there. Apparently, Saudi Arabian club Al Nasr have offered to sign the striker on loan until the end of the season. Wonga, would you accept that? Would you take that right now?
Guys are going to Saudi, Middle East already.
I think the thing is, what is it for Aubameyang? I think obviously he came to Arsenal, he signed a big contract, and, you know, we did question it before, you know, whether that, but the things that we've been seeing, you know, as actually, it's almost like we can't speak for him, but I think the way he's been acting, has actually shown that it's almost like you'd say that they give an impression that, you know what, this guy, he signed a retirement plan now. That's what he's done now. With Arsenal. For me, if someone is not pitching up for training sessions, that's huge. You know, that's very, very problematic. I remember there was a time that he was ill, his mom was ill, he's going through a lot personally. So I don't know if there's maybe something wrong with him. I don't know if there's something wrong with his personal life, there's something going on there. Maybe he's having a midlife crisis. I have no idea what the heck, but it's very strange what the way he's been acting of late, with this Arsenal side. So, but I mean, again, could he do more? I think Aubameyang still has a couple of years left in him, I think, but it's up to him, really. If he goes to Saudi Arabia, it's over. He's gonna stay in those sides. He'll go to Saudi Arabia, go to USA.
The greens, boy.
Yeah,
the greens.
He can go, yeah.
I think
he'll go to USA. And do that.
But to be honest, I think that's where he's at as a professional in terms, I mean, the way in which he's conducted himself. Like you said, I think there's a lot of personal things, a lot of baggage he's dealing with. And I think just, yeah, so Settle's just putting up the final scores here, which is great. We'll touch on that now. Yeah, but I think from a Aubameyang perspective, I think he's far gone. Let him make as much money as he wants and then move him out. He's disrupting the Arsenal squad and what Arteta's trying to achieve there. So I think it's a good player to get rid of. I think the other name to be throwing out there, and the one that's just made some breaking news, I know Settle sent it in the group earlier, but PSG holding Ndombele talks. Tottenham and PSG have held talks over to Tanguy Ndombele, although there's no agreement yet. It's a possible swap deal that has been spoken about, but Antonio Conte is currently not keen on PSG options. So yeah, so currently he's not happy with the options. But again, this is a player that I've told, and I've said this previous in the show, that this wasn't going to work out. It just never was going to work out. If you couldn't have gotten it right under your Mourinho, how would it improve afterwards? So, in terms of your thoughts, I know Settle's busy typing there, Wonga, but your thoughts, what do you think went wrong for this guy?
Dembele?
Yeah.
I don't know, Claudio, to be honest with you. To be honest, I've not watched much of Tottenham to say what's gone wrong with him, but for him to go to a PSG, personally for him, and if you look at PSG, most players that go, they're complaining about politics. If he goes there, it's over. Especially someone who's
don't forget who signed him at Tottenham.
Yes, but then you also ask yourself, how long is he going to be there, Pochettino? Because he's not also 100% up. He's also talking about coming back here.
True.
So you see, so if he goes there now, and then now he sits in the team, it's gonna be like an Aguero and Messi. You know, you go there for your friend, and then hey, cheers, bro. As soon as you enter, he's out. So
yeah, it's a loan move. So I think obviously with a loan for an option to buy.
Oh, there's a loan.
The loan with an option to buy is not bad. Okay. So I think obviously that does help. That does help him in that regard, where you obviously play for a coach that actually likes him or knows how to utilize him. I think, yeah, sometimes things, signings don't work out. You know what I mean? I think obviously we've seen Thiago not working out at Liverpool. Similar thing with Dembele not working out at Spurs, you know? These things happen.
You know,
flashes of brilliance. He's shown flashes of brilliance. You know, there's some matches he's bossed, you know, and he's quite a nice player in terms of keeping the ball on his feet. You know, it sticks to his feet, you know. So he's got very good close ball control. But I think, obviously, I think the managers that he's had in Mourinho and Conte have wanted a bit more on the defensive side of things, probably, which probably he doesn't bring to the fore, which so I guess that's that for him at Spurs.
And their most expensive signing ever. That's one way to go about it. I do think, I want to comment, I like the fact that you mentioned Thiago Silva, because we know that if you're coming from foreign leagues into the Premier League, generally you have sort of adaption issues. Now, when you consider COVID and getting into that and the rhythm, I wonder how much that affects a player coming in, just adapting to the culture, getting into the rhythm of things. And do you think that players, obviously, in Ndombele's situation, he didn't have that, but he had the chopping and changing of managers. But how influential is COVID in the player adaption process with regards to the squad?
Probably is. It has to be. Because obviously then, 2020, you know, you're coming in. You don't even have an opportunity to leave your house, you know, to be honest. You know what I mean? You're staying in your house.
City.
You know, you're trying to see the city. You're trying to travel around, you know, maybe you got some off time, you're trying to go to London if you're living in Merseyside, you know, you're just trying to do something with your family, you know, and then next thing you're just in the house and you're cramped up and stuff. So it can get a bit miserable. Also, if you're from the sunny side of Europe, then also it can be a bit even more trickier because then it's the weather as well as miserable. But I'm sure it does take a lot for players to adjust. But some players as well have adjusted quite well and quickly. You know what I mean? Yes, you look at your Werner hasn't still adjusted, you know. When is he going to adjust, you know? I think we've forgotten about him. Does he still play for Chelsea, guys?
Yeah, good point. Did completely forget about him. But right, just to wrap this one up, though, from the transfer window perspective, one signing that a club in the Premier League needs right now. It can be any club, it can be any signing.
Needs.
Which is the most important signing or club that needs to make a signing right now? Also, don't be afraid to tell us the opinions there, who you guys reckon. I know Vard is going to give us some players for Villa.
I'd give you two things. I think if you look at in terms of where Newcastle are at, I'd agree with Jason. They definitely need to make a few signs, especially at the back. They need to be winning games now, so they can't be conceding the way they have been. In the previous games they've shown that they can actually score goals. You know, so the only thing is now they're leaking at the back, and I think then they can go forward. And then another signing, you didn't ask, but a signing I'd like to see if it happens. I saw what Vaj was talking about in terms of Luis Suarez wanting to come, and looking to come back and form the old band of Coutinho, Gerrard and himself. That would be nice to see and see if it,
what?
There's the same spark as it did.
Are those fantasy rumors? What's this?
Yeah, it's being reported. It's being reported. Look, you know. When
no, it's still speculation.
It's speculation. But
speculation.
You know, when you're a fan of your club, you will find these random rumors that someone has written somewhere for your club, and you'll start like getting excited about it. You know those.
And you post it. You start to post it everywhere. No, man.
Yeah. This one came from Spain.
I think a club that needs to sign, guys, is Burnley. Burnley need to sign a striker, guys. Obviously, Wood has left. I think Burnley needs to sign a striker because Maxwell is going to be at AFCON this weekend, and I think will probably only come back in the first week of Feb.
Look, Vardy's saying that Arsenal need a partner for Partey. I think Arsenal, the players we have at the moment, if everyone's fully fit, I think we're okay in the midfield, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Partey's probably already in London.
Yeah, but I think we're okay. Now, why am I forgetting his name? Lukonga. I think Lukonga is a decent player in the midfield.
Did you see the mistake that he made in the last game?
But you're going to get mistakes.
What mistake did he make before that? Yeah, what mistake did he make before that?
I don't watch Arsenal.
Yeah. No, he hasn't made a mistake before that. Xhaka's made mistakes week in, week out, got yellow cards left, right, and center, and he plays week in, week out. So, to drop Lukonga because of one mistake.
Thomas Partey already landed, guys.
Is that what they said? You're one of those fans checking the planes. That's what you do.
I'm checking the planes, guys. The plane landed yesterday, guys. The plane landed yesterday, guys.
You see, look, it's funny how other. It's funny, you know. Sometimes I thought maybe I'm being too harsh on Xhaka, but geez, everyone else is seeing it. They replace the guy. It's nothing personal, but
guys,
he's killing us. I'm happy that he's not playing today. We maybe have a chance now. The fact he's not playing today.
It's a toxic relationship. That's what it is. You know, it's one of those where you just got to cut the ties and just move on. Cut it clean.
Let
the guy get you. It's the same as Aubameyang. There's certain players, you just got to cut them fresh, let them be, let them go. And also, who wants to play for Burnley? I think that's a valid comment there. I mean, the fact that I know Burnley needs that. If you even mention Burnley on the show, we know how we feel about Burnley.
No, man, come on, bro. We have to mention Burnley, guys, because they're getting relegated this season, guys. We need to celebrate
Burnley getting relegated, like Arsenal getting to the top four, if that happens.
At the end of the season, we need to go raid Burnley, man. They actually got some good players, but that need to be in better clubs.
Tarkowski will go to Newcastle.
Pope Tarkowski, that right back, what's his name? I forgot what the right back's name is. Then
back Maxwell striker Kone, that they've just signed, yeah?
Yeah, Maxwell Kone as well. And then there's this left-footed center mid as well that's quite decent. I think he's from, like, Ireland or something. Yeah, so like probably like five players that Burnley need to leave because... Yeah, McNeil, you see? Yeah, that's the guy. McNeil is class, man. McNeil needs to go to a better club.
Yeah, McNeil. But he's a... But did he not come through? He's a Man United Academy product, McNeil. Just in
probably,
case you're wondering.
Probably.
But also, Pumalani saying Xhaka's pace is a problem for Arsenal. You know what's the problem with Xhaka? But Xhaka, though, you've got a long list. You could put, like, the issues he has within the Premier League within a hat, and you could pull it out and be like, yes, that's a weakness, unfortunately, with him. He's just displayed so many errors. And I think his biggest one isn't his pace. It's just his decision-making. That's the worst one.
But Claudio, think about this. You know, Pumalani's saying it's pace, but think about, like, the way he... The only reason his problem is the pace. His pace is the problem is because he's always trying to cover for the other defender, which makes sense for a player in his position. And he's obviously told this by the manager. But the manager sees... That's why I said, Arteta, great what he's done. But this... It's been happening game after game. And you're asking the guy to do the same thing that's killing the team. I can't understand it. I genuinely can't understand it. That's one thing. Just one thing he needs to sort out. Just one thing. Take the cover off. And it's easy to sort out. Put him on the seat where you can't touch the ball.
Wong is so hacked, guys. He's so hacked.
Like, Xhaka and Arsenal. And we've got ourselves like a nice, an hour rant to Arsenal TV on Goal Lounge.
Sorry.
Keep going.
Just one more part on that. We've been playing well when Xhaka got injured, right? We played well, we've climbed positions, we finally are where we are, right? And I'd say, yeah, we're still not, I mean, with the game in hand, we're still not, there's not a true reflection of where we are on the log, right? Then Xhaka comes back, he's just literally come back and he's playing games. Other guys are easing to it. Xhaka is putting to the team week after week. And I'm trying to understand it. This, like, we had something that's working and then now he's changing. And we haven't lost, true, we haven't lost. The mistakes, what did they do? They creeped in. Luckily, they've creeped in here when we're playing in EFL Cup and not in the league. But again, I think he's played like five games and in three of the games he's picked up cards. One game's got a red.
Hey, Claudio, I think we need to like do some infographics, for instance, or like and have like a sound effect, for instance, like
every time.
So when he goes on Xhaka, we like do like a wee,
Chaka red. Yeah, I agree with you.
Give 30 seconds. I do a Musa one for Lukaku red.
To be honest, I blame Arteta more than I blame Xhaka, to be honest. Because he's the guy putting the guy on the pitch. If you guys were there, would you put him on the pitch? No, you wouldn't. But Arteta's putting him on the pitch.
You know, I don't even think Sean Dyche should put him in a Burnley shirt. So I think that speaks volumes.
It's not
going to
happen.
Let's be honest. Now let's go back to Switzerland. And yes, Xhaka sees red. I agree with that. Surely he must be doing all the right things at training, Wonga. That's what Nevada says.
Vard is right. That's because you're only player according to that. But jeez, can it be that much of a difference? Unless really Arsenal our defenders are that bad.
But I think there's a disconnect. I think it could be a great training player. He could be really great when he's training, and then he steps out and he just loses his head. I think that's more evident than not. So maybe he's a fantastic trainer, a good player for the squad, but not for the starting 11. Right, we're gonna move on to the game last night. I want to touch on this game for a couple of reasons. The Brentford-Man United game, because obviously first half was dreadful. Second half, they came out playing. But what I did like, and I commented this, I spoke about this briefly within the chats, is that I do like the setup with the younger players and having Ronaldo leading the line. They're a good little experience. And also, like, I've spoken highly of Diego Dalot, not because he's obviously Portuguese, but...
He's a good player.
He is a good player. He's a player who needs a good running games. He needs consistent running games. I think you're going to see the best out of him. And I think I don't know, how would you compare him? Firstly, Settle, the take on the game yesterday. Then thirdly, sort of Diego Dalot versus Wan-Bissaka. And then, of course, whether or not you would keep Fernandes as captain instead of the fridge.
No, I think what's the game was obviously, as you said, game of two halves. I think... Yeah, I mean, the best keeper in the league saves us again in the first half with his feet. Made some great saves. Always saving us. But at least second half, at least we came out with at least some energy, which we needed in that half. You know, I think Yeah, it was quite interesting. You know, I think also that chance that we got with Ilanga's goal, even up to that point, Brentford was still a bit better than us in the second half. But then from that point when we got the goal till probably the last 10 minutes, so probably let's say 55th minute to the last, to about the 80th minute, Man United were obviously dominating that the game in that portion. But the first 10 minutes of the first of the second half, Brentford was still doing well. And yeah, as you said, I think Dalot is obviously doing quite well. I think it's actually a travesty the fact that Solskjaer never gave him a run of games. You know, if Solskjaer only ever played him when Wan-Bissaka was suspended or got injured, you know. So actually this coach is giving him an opportunity. And also I think obviously the way the coach wants to play, obviously wants, he likes certain attributes from Dalot, which is obviously, you know, he can actually give a bit more offensively to what Wan-Bissaka gives. Wan-Bissaka is great defensively, but we all know his flaws going forward. So Dalot, obviously, I think you can work on someone's defensive awareness as opposed to someone's attacking instincts. You know what I mean? So I think because he's already got that attacking instinct.
You can definitely try and teach a man how to defend.
You can teach a man how to show the person the line. Show the person the line, you know, but you can't teach a man to cross the ball. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he can't cross the ball. I'm just saying his attacking instincts are not there. You know, like Dalot. So it's good to see him there. Obviously, Taylor is also getting a good run of games with Luke Shaw's injuries and suspension sometimes as well. So that's good as well. So players that were not getting game time under Solskjaer are getting game time, like those two. But yeah, the Fridge, obviously, I think, yeah, man, he's not had a great season. So yeah, obviously I think he must bench the next game as well against West Ham, and Fernandes must continue to be the captain. There's no need to change the starting lineup on Saturday against West Ham. Start the same team, the Fridge on the bench, and that's okay. I think it shows as well is that if you are off form, you'll be at the bench. You know what I mean? So yeah. And you know, and also he got suspended at some point. So obviously he got suspended, then he had a bit of a rib injury or whatever. So obviously then Varane and Lindelof were available, they played, and they're doing decently, you know what I mean? Why have to bring in Maguire when obviously he's not, like, on the peak of his form right now, you know? So I think he needs to obviously look at himself and revisit his form.
Also, he has a comment that
that's not true.
Isaka and Maguire not good enough for United. You disagree?
That's not true. That's not true. It's a rumour. It's not true.
Yeah, but what about you? What do you think? Do you think those three players are good enough for United?
Yeah, they're good enough.
I think sure, definitely. Yeah, sure, definitely. Wan-Bissaka, definitely. Maguire. But the first half,
I think you know, the problem is the problem is if you associate these players with their price tags, that's the problem. You know, which is not their fault, right? You know, players' price tags is not their fault, you know. So I think you must just look at players in their performance and so on. And I think Maguire has had his good moments at Man United, but this season hasn't been good at all.
Yeah, but, okay. Let's not go down the Maguire
road. Wow, Vards is saying that Shaw's not good enough. Wow, I think you need to revisit your eyes a bit there.
Yeah, okay. Personally, I think they could be better.
So you don't rate Luke Shaw, who was the best left back in the league last season?
Yeah, he had a good season, but this is the thing, though. This is the issue, Selo. He had a good season, and what's he doing this season?
Luke Shaw's decent.
And prior to the season he had,
but he's been injured this season.
Yeah, he's been injured, but prior to the season he had as well. Like it's just the consistency. If you're not going to be consistent, it's just like with Thiago. Thiago's got all the qualities. Thiago. Is Thiago a good player? Yes or no?
He's good. Yeah.
He's a good player, but it's about getting the consistency out of him and whether or not he can deliver that. And it's the same thing for Shaw.
No,
he has injuries
Pumlani is saying Shaw's world class. You know what I mean? Pumlani knows what he's talking about. Pumlani knows what he's talking about. Pumlani knows what he's talking about.
No, but you're talking about things being tainted. No, yeah, tainting. Who's tainting?
I'm saying, don't let Thiago's performances at Liverpool taint his career as a footballer.
No one's tainting it. I'm not tainting it. All I'm saying is a good player, no, but we're not getting the best out of him because...
But look at Jason.
I don't think we're going to get the best out of him.
But look what Jason's saying. You see, that's the thing when you don't even watch teams play properly. Like, Luke Shaw was the best left back in the Premier League last season. You know what I mean? In the Premier League, not international duty. International duty is something different. He did well at the Euros as well. You know, he had a stellar season. You know what I mean? So I don't understand what he's talking about.
I think just for everyone listening, we just need people to listen to this comment. Jason's saying best left back in the league last season or on international duty.
In the league. By far.
All right, but wait, we're getting carried away. Yeah. Overall, just your summary there. Some promising signs. You know, Ronaldo getting taken off. The manager's still, you know, getting proven right when he puts Rashford on. Goal coming in. McTominay also looking like a different player suddenly. Also looking like a player that has a future at United. Are these promising signs for you, Cello, in terms of what Ragnick's doing?
Nah, let's comment when we play against other traditional top six sides. I think we need to not jump the gun. You know, I think we need to just relax a bit. You know, I mean, football is won in the tough moments, not just in the moments when you're playing a startup team. You know, so let's see how we play against. Let's see how we play against the traditional top six, because the traditional top six have been playing well this season. You know, I mean, I think out of the traditional top six, we are the worst performing team. You know, Arsenal and Spurs are playing much better than us this season. So obviously, I think the true test comes when we play against the traditional top six. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Well, let's talk about one of those. Leicester City versus Spurs. Obviously, great comeback last night. Spurs doing it again. What's his name? Conte. Going on the run, not losing to Spurs yet again. That's something he's got in his history when he's facing the club. Never ever lost to the club. So let's talk about this in terms of, we know Harry Kane doing the business here. Also a man turning around his form and turning around his team's form. How great was this result for them moving forward and catching up, and also the place for the Champions League spot? And can they do it?
I told people to bring Harry Kane to a fantasy team.
They shouldn't do it
because that guy's back in his, and he's in my fantasy team. Because I knew he's back. I put him in probably a week and a half ago. So I definitely, obviously, I think also, man, they rejuvenated. Harry Winks is playing, doing well. You know, they got some players that probably were forgotten men that are contributing, like Harry Winks. And I think, I watched the highlights earlier on today, man. That was actually crazy how they obviously got back into the game. 94th minute. 96th minute was the third goal, you know. So obviously Leicester only have themselves to blame.
You think if that was the AFCON, someone would be putting a complaint to the refs about extending time there? Eh? No? I see everyone's complaining. We're going to complain that was a harsh red card. We're going to complain that was extra time. We're going to complain.
AFCON, they complain about everything, man. But I don't think you can really complain. Maybe that third goal. Yeah, it was over the four minutes that were allocated, you know. It was at 96 minutes, 95, 82 or something like that. Oh, I mean, 52, I mean. So that we can definitely say that we can look into that and say it's a bit of AFCON officiating there at the King Power.
Well, just a comment there for Wonga, who's been saying this whole season, Arsenal are going to come back and, you know, rise from the ashes and claim that fourth spot. But now, if we're looking at the table, Tottenham, having played 19 games, are sitting in fifth with 36 points, 1 point behind West Ham, who are on 37. Arsenal played a game in hand on 35. What are Tottenham's chances of making the top four? Jason's saying definitely. I mean, Conte is going to focus and do all he can to make sure that he can sign the players that he needs to and get the money by qualifying for Champions League. But do you think this is obviously something that's going to happen? I'm not going to say a real possibility, because obviously it's a possibility. But do you think it's going to be a definite for Conte to get that fourth spot for Spurs?
I don't want Spurs there. That's the truth. Brother. I don't want them there. I'm not going to say anything.
That's a shocker.
Tell you that,
Cello, were you aware that Wonga didn't want Spurs in the top four?
I think Wonga at this stage would take West Ham in the top four rather than him.
I think, No, I'm not going to say it, but look, Arsenal definitely do to go on what you first started off with. Arsenal have already risen out of the ashes. That's done. I think the next step would be now to...
Are you sure it's done? Are you sure it's done? It's a slippery slope.
But man, we're past ashes, bro. We're already being blown away to the wind. We were there at the bottom, bro. We've been there, Cloudy.
So you're
being
a baby mess. You're out of it. Are you saying you're a baby phoenix now?
We, yes. You're
squawking.
Yeah. So, okay. I think Arsenal also got Arsenal, I think also have got, we haven't played as many games as Tottenham, but again, Tottenham are gonna, it's not gonna be easy because they're gonna have they're gonna have weeks where they're gonna have to play like 3 matches in a row if they have to catch up, and finish in time in the Premier. They're not gonna extend the league for those guys to catch up on their games. So it will be a difficult one. And we can't, I mean, you've said many seasons, game in hand, games in hand. Arsenal have had many game in hands at some point and actually turned out to be duds, as far as I remember, back in the days. But, yeah, man, I still think Arsenal can finish above them.
Okay, that's a brave statement. Cyril, in terms of seeing what Conte is doing with the resources at Spurs, do you think it was a missed opportunity for Man United not getting the man?
100%. 100%, bro. 100%. There's nothing more to say about that. I think, you know, listen, with all the negatives that Conte sometimes comes with, I think you must also look at the positives that he does come with as well. So I think definitely the positive would have been the guy's a winner, guys. He's a winner. He's won leagues at every club that he's basically coached at. Juventus, Chelsea, Inter Milan. He's won league titles with those three clubs. Yes, Juventus, we can always say that it was a given that Juventus was going to win the league, right? But Juventus, he's winning the leagues before Max Allegri got to Juventus. So he's the one who started this whole eight Serie A's in a row type of thing. You know, he won 3 in a row. And obviously, I think he's a serial winner. Chelsea, he won the league with Chelsea when Pep Guardiola was in the league and Klopp was in the league. Do you know what I mean? So it just shows you that obviously that guy is at that level of those two managers type of thing, you know. And obviously, yeah, he went back to Inter Milan. Inter Milan broke the Juventus stranglehold of the title. So I think he's definitely a serial winner. Man United did definitely miss a step there, but knowing our board doesn't want to have confrontations with their manager. They want kumbaya, which is actually rubbish, you know. There needs to be some angst in the club sometimes as well, you know. But, yeah, Conte is a serial winner, man. Serial winner. Serial. I would be surprised if Harry Kane stayed.
Yeah, I think that was my next question, is Harry Kane. Do you think he's going to stay? Next season, he's a Tottenham player.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. Well, on that note, next one. EFL semi-finals tonight. Arsenal versus Liverpool. Wonga getting super excited, obviously, because they held out at the 0-0 draw last week, and they are playing at home today. Also, more dangerous for an Arsenal in this.
Yeah, but you played it to handicap. You would
imagine. Yeah, but handicap. That worked in your favor. We've discussed this. You know, people do better with a handicap. Yeah. You're talking about, let's not, Cyril, are you ready to push the button, the Shaka rant? Are you ready?
Let's go.
Three, two, one. Come on, 15 seconds, Shaka, the Shaka rant there. Let's hear it.
Shaka rant.
But this game here, Wonga, this game here, you think it was a good result on paper, 0-0. But it is away goals count in this sort of leg. Liverpool get one goal, you have to score 2 here.
Yeah, if they get one, and I don't think they'll score, to be honest with you. If they had Mane and Salah, I'd be like, game over. And Klopp was going to play them both. that's what I believe. I think Jota, Diogo Jota definitely, would be one person you need to watch out for. But I think they can keep a clean sheet again in this game. We are on a disadvantage because of the away goals thing. But unfortunately we are there in that situation. But I think Arsenal can come out with the win in this game, definitely.
But how are they going to do it? If they're going to come out in a win, how are they going to do it? Because they have to start attacking. And I know they're playing at home, and your fans wouldn't want to see anything other. They don't want to see Arsenal sitting deep at home. And that could work in Liverpool's favour, sitting deeper, waiting for the right moment. Because, like I said, we just need the one goal. So how do Arsenal go about beating Liverpool in this game tonight?
You see, Liverpool, when we played Liverpool in the league, we waited for them once and it didn't work. Then obviously now this game we played against them in EFL, we were forced to do it because there was some crazy idiot who decided to, I don't know what he was doing, but anyways, we were forced to do it anyways. We had 10 men.
Some crazy then, idiot. Guy doesn't have a name anymore.
It's what I said before. We have to go head to head with Liverpool. Flip and try it, bro. You haven't tried it. Just try it now. Go head to head, just like we do with the other teams. Liverpool as well. When they attack, they're vulnerable at the back. That's how they've conceded goals this season. Is that vulnerability at the back? And I think Arsenal have the players to. I mean, we've got Martinelli, we've got a Saka, we've got a Smith Rowe, we've got an Odegaard.
Did Odegaard have COVID, or was he one of the injured players that had COVID?
I think he had COVID.
That was diagnosed with COVID. The rest were all injured, or they were loaned out, or they were sold.
Yes.
He was the one
tough,
player.
Bro. Oh, they were tough.
He had COVID.
So if he didn't have COVID,
we would have been okay to play, but... And yeah, that COVID
if
hit
the
him.
One player didn't have COVID, yeah, the game would have taken place. But the one did, so they used 100%. The COVID advantage rule. That's what they did, yeah. What's your take on the game tonight? I know I spoke about the significance for Liverpool having to win silverware, and this is an opportunity for them to do so. But what do you think is going to happen here in terms of, I mean, we don't have Salah, we don't have Mane, but Jota can still score. You know my boy Taki, he can come on if he's not blazing things over the bar. He can also, you know, he's not the worst player in front of goals.
No, I think it's important for Liverpool to obviously get the W and obviously get into the final, you know, where they'll be playing Chelsea. As you said, a title, a trophy would obviously help, you know, confidence boost, that type of thing, you know, obviously not just having the Champions League and the league, you know. It'll be an interesting game. I think it's both teams can win it because Liverpool obviously don't have their two main attackers. And Arsenal have their main attackers. Let's see if Partey plays. I think if Partey does play, I think obviously Partey will have the anger of the whole of Ghana in him. And obviously that'll revitalize the team, you know. You know, he'll be disappointed that he couldn't go further in the tournament. But yeah, let's see what happens. I think it'll be interesting. Obviously Arsenal didn't play on the weekend. Obviously they played last week. So that they've got the rest, you know, if they needed the rest. You know, sometimes it's a bit tricky. You know, sometimes you want to play, sometimes you don't want to play.
You think that's going to be significant for them? Extra day of preparation for Arteta, giving them more confidence. You think that will be the difference in the game tonight?
No, I don't think Arsenal, not to say that Arsenal, you know, those extra days of rest doesn't really help Arsenal, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, Arsenal gets helped by such things. You know, Arsenal gets helped by the fact that Odegaard is back, you know, that helps Arsenal, you know what I mean? The fact that Smith, people who are injured are back, that's what helps Arsenal, not extra days of rest.
I agree on that one. We've got the least busiest calendar, I mean, from all the probably top six teams. Yeah, we're not that busy. So I think extra day rest doesn't do much to us. If Arteta try to focus on that, try to keep everyone fit throughout the season, then you've got a good advantage of actually closing that top four space. But with the injuries, yeah, like Silas says, it's gonna make it difficult if we don't have the players then. Rest is not gonna help us because the quality of our players is going to give us results, I believe. Yeah. And I think with Partey, if Partey plays today, it will give us a big boost. He's been playing well in the past matches. He's the only Arsenal player who I've actually seen who's actually gone to an interview and said, oh, you know what, I actually need to play well, wada wada, blah blah blah, and he's actually gone out and actually improved on his game. You can see he's playing with a lot of intent now. Let's say the last three games I've seen him play. Others I've heard, just dads, bro. But yeah, I think with him, I see someone that's clearly there's an intent in his game, and I like to see that in a player.
Okay, fair enough. Overall prediction there, then score. What do you think is going to happen? We've got Jason saying Liverpool to win away, or win on away goals rather.
Come on, Jason.
Let's start with Selo before we hear your verdict, Bunga.
Do they still use away goals, guys? Or is that only Champions League?
No, they did. Okay. Actually, I was hoping it was only going to be one leg when they played it, for obvious reasons, when they played at Anfield. But,
I actually don't know who's going to win, actually. Hey?
Let me help you, Selo.
The thing is,
1-0 to Arsenal.
So I think it's going to go to penalty. Can it go to penalties? Away goals rule? Yeah, okay, sharp.
Penalties definitely on the cards.
I think penalties, guys.
Yeah, I think penalties are 1-0 to Arsenal. I think Pep Linders is even coming out saying Liverpool are going to do whatever it takes to win, even if it is on penalties. So it's not something they haven't prepared for. I do think as the game's going to go on, you know, Arsenal might throw a little jab, but they're going to be sitting deep. That's what they're going to be doing. That's all Arsenal know how to do.
It's problematic.
And they won't be... No, but you're going to do it. And they're not going to be too upset about
it's
it. It's
problematic.
You know, they want to win. And they're going to drag the game out. I don't think it's going to be the most exciting game. I hope I stand corrected because traditionally the game is quite excited when Liverpool take on Arsenal. But I think they're going to do whatever they can to make it seem like it's dull. And if they can get to penalties, they will. They'll snatch your hand off Arsenal, in my opinion. But that said, I think Liverpool are going to win on away goals, Jason. That's what's going to happen, my opinion. We're going to score one goal. That's what's going to happen. We're going to score the first goal. It's going to open up the floodgates. Also going to have to push forward, and then we're going to get another one, and then we're going to get another one, and the score is going to be 3-1.
No. It's not going to happen.
3-1?
No, Salah, there's no money. I say 1-2.
That's why. Watch Tucky. I'm telling you, Tucky's going to get his hat-trick. He likes scoring in this competition. He'll get his hat-trick tonight. Tucky Minamino, boys, remember the name. Right. Premier League. We're going to make our predictions for the fixtures, some of the fixtures for this weekend. First game is going to be Everton-Aston Villa. Also a spicy game here for obvious reasons. Everton, coachless. Steven Gerrard traveling back to Merseyside with his Arsenal new sort of secret weapon, Coutinho. And obviously Lucas Digne making his return so quickly back at Goodison Park. What do you think is going to happen here, gents?
Guys, this is something.
There's a lot here to talk about.
This is something Claudia didn't allow me to speak about in the last show, guys. I don't know for what reason, but guys, Everton fire the manager after they let Luca Digne and they let the sporting director Marcel Brands leave. They let two people leave because of Rafa. And then they fire Rafa. What the heck, guys? Who does that? Guys, think about it, guys. So imagine now at Liverpool, for instance, right? You guys let Liverpool let's go of Van Dijk, and then let's go of whoever the sporting director is, and then they fire Klopp. Does it make sense, guys? How can you do that as a club, guys?
But Rafa is a secret agent. I think he did his job. I think he did his job there for Liverpool. Personally speaking.
He probably did, guys. He did.
Yeah, there we go. Wayne Naidoo saying Agent Rafa. There we go. That's exactly what it was. He went in there, and there were smiling. He goes 1-0 down. He's smiling. Anyway, right, gents. But Wonga, don't you want to comment on the results here? What do you think is going to happen? Lucas Digne with the cross, Coutinho with the goal. You know, there's a lot of history in terms of a lot of story plots for the journalists.
It's going to be very interesting.
Is Wonga still with us?
Wonga froze. Oh, he's.
I said 3-0 to Aston Villa. That's interesting. It's going to be flat
Aston Villa.
Off.
It's possible.
3-0 to Aston Villa.
I said 2-1 to Aston Villa. I think it'll be obviously Duncan.
Everton Ferguson not score.
Duncan Ferguson is the manager now. They will score a goal. So it's 2-1 to Aston Villa.
Yeah, I think Duncan Ferguson's going to pull a bit of a Sam Allardyce playbook, sit deeper, get the ball long in the box, do what he knows best, tell Calvert-Lewin to shine, and they'll get a goal. So yeah, 2-1 to Villa, I think, is a good shot. But let's go 3-1, because Coutinho, man. Gents, let's see. An assist and a goal, and then Lucas Digne for good measure. Let's see. So 3-1 from my side. Wonga, you said 3-0. Next game, and I think it's a big game for many reasons, largely because the Leeds fans are quite confident with this game hosting Newcastle. We saw Darren saying they're definitely going to win this.
Yeah, Darren was saying that because Bamford and all of those guys are coming back from COVID, they're going to win. But guys, Newcastle needs this win, guys. I want Newcastle to get this win. Leeds did very well in the last game at West Ham. Obviously, they won 3-2. So I think let's give it to Newcastle. But no, I can't. Actually, it's going to be a draw. 1-1, guys. 1-1.
How important do you think this result's going to be for Newcastle in terms of trying to get those last-ditch signings across the line? If they win this game, you could argue a little bit of momentum. Yeah, you can see we really need to get out of this. If they lose this game, do you think it's really going to have an impact on a potential player that they want to sign?
I know, man. I don't think so, man. I think, guys,
show me
the money.
Show me the money.
Like, tell you, listen, you're a footballer, right? You're earning £80,000 at wherever you're playing. And Newcastle offers you double the money, £160,000, right? It's a 4-year contract, 5-year contract. Are you going to take it or not? You're playing for Athletic Bilbao in Spain. They're at number 8 in La Liga. They're offering you double the money. Are you going to take it or not?
Yeah, plus you have a relegation clause in your contract saying, you know, they either got to release you or they pay you the same wages. Yeah, definitely, why not? But then the problem is, like Eddie Howe says, he wants to sign the right players for this time right now and not just throw money at the situation, because you can land up with the QPR situation where QPR played for Chris Samba, you know, and they paid those numbers and he came there and he did nothing because he knew he was still going to get paid afterwards regardless. So that's the situation Newcastle find themselves
in. It's a tricky spot.
Yeah. So Leeds, according to Vard, is going to win 2-1. Louis Murray is still on the line here, saying Leeds for sure after beating the Hammers 3-2. Wonga, what's your say? What's your verdict?
I say 2-2 draw. Yeah. I think your both teams won it badly. I mean, Newcastle's going to fight every game now. They have to.
And they do suffer goals. We do know at home that
these are the same. They also suffer goals.
Yeah.
Ask 1-1, guys. 1-1. Claudio, what do you say?
Yeah, I think a draw. Look, I think my heart's saying Newcastle just because I want to see something interesting happening. But yeah, I think Leeds are going to do something at home. They're not going to let Newcastle come in there and do their thing. So Bielsa's not going to take chances. So I think a 1-1 draw is probably a fair result, in my opinion. Darren's going to be disappointed because he's convinced of the win. I think then the next game we're going to touch on is the Southampton-Man City game. Cello, let us know. What are you thinking here?
St. Mary's, right?
St. Mary's, that is correct.
Yeah, this must be at St. Mary's because I think... Did Southampton beat Man City? Oh, they drew. They drew with Man City at the Etihad. Or the empty head, as Jim Beglin said, empty head.
Empty head, correct.
At the empty head. So I think it'll be a 3-0 victory to Man City in this game. Yes, Southampton can be that team that surprises you, but I think 3-0.
Well, look, man, Southampton have only lost one game in their last five. So they've drawn one. So they've picked up good form. I know they started off a bit sluggish, but with the new ownership coming in, there's been some positive vibes happening there. I think their last game they lost was a 3-1 to Wolves, but Wolves also find themselves in a good way at the moment. So, I mean, Man City should be, you know, one stretch too far for them. So it should be an easy sort of rollover for Man City. But who knows? I mean, the Premier League have done some odd things, or you always see something strange. And I would like to have Man City drop points at some stage. And maybe this is the game where they do drop points. Wonga?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, Claudio. It can be a funny one, this one. I would expect Man City. If you ask me, my prediction would be a 5-0. To be honest with you, the way they're playing at the moment. But that this could be the funny game of what that feeling that this could be the fun run for Man City. Because Man City, they do it against... even Vartan could be 6 or 7. Yeah. They're playing so well at the moment. They're just free-flowing. But Man City, when they do drop points, it's really, really an unexpected team. And they end up losing against them. So, I mean, like, was it last year when they lost to Newcastle, the year before? They dropped to Newcastle, and no one was expecting that.
When they do drop the ball, these are the type of these are the type of goals Louis is writing. Bitches, come on, 2-0 bitches. That's what he's going with. I think, look, on paper, it's no brainer. I think for the neutral, we want it to be exciting, so we just with our hearts saying, you know, Southampton possibly to upset, but that's more hoping than actually saying. I mean, the facts, these results, yeah, 3-0, Pumulani saying 3-0, 2-0, Louis, 6-7, I think that's the likelihood, right? If Southampton score on the day, they'll go home, and they'll have a fat drink in the bar and say, job done, we managed to get on the score sheet, regardless of how many they concede. Eh? Am I right there, Settle?
That's true. I think, yeah, but it'll be interesting. Just don't give Ward-Prowse a free kick outside the box.
Yeah, maybe that's exactly what we might get—a Ward-Prowse free kick, and then they just
Did you guys see the one he hit against Wolves? Oof. A different one.
Ward-Prowse scored a corner, anymore, bro.
He hit the one that just. That kid is talented. Best free kick taker in the Premier League.
Yeah, he is. I think he's definitely in that bracket there. Man United versus West Ham prediction, gentlemen. This one, obviously, Moyes is a different man. Travelling back to Old Trafford. He would like to silence his old critics there. Wonga saying
2-1
to West Ham.
So me, I'm saying 2-1 to Man United.
What makes you say it's going to be a 2-1 victory for United? The fact that they're playing at home, or Ronaldo factor, or what? What's like? How do you see? Why do you see the game going that way?
It's important. It's an important game. I think they know how important this game is. Obviously, West Ham is 2 points ahead of Man United. We have a game in hand on them. So us winning this game will take us a point ahead of them with the game in hand still. So I think, obviously, the importance of actually doing something for the season. And I think, you know, you need to... Sometimes it takes a bit of time for players to buy into a manager's strategy and so on and so forth. But also, I think that Ranieri has obviously switched to a 4-3-3. Which is getting the most out of Bruno. Bruno's got 2 goals and 2 assists in the last 2 games, which is obviously great, good stats for him. And I think, yeah, I think obviously we're looking in the right direction. Obviously, I think Ronaldo is itching for a goal. He just needs to be a bit patient in the box there. So I think, yeah, 2-1 to Man United.
I mean, I know you say he's got to be a bit patient, but I think it is tricky when you're when you're playing. I know I commented on the fact that you have Ronaldo leading the line of the two younger players. But when you got Fernandes, he's meant to be putting him in. I think Ronaldo does a lot more linking up playing than he does getting on the end of things, because he's not getting the same delivery if you had a Pogba, for example, or if he was playing for Liverpool and he had a Trent whipping in the balls. I think if you saw a lot more of that, he'd be scoring a lot more goals. Also, guys, I'm echoing on someone's side there, so just check that if that's not you. sorry, because I'm hearing myself.
I can also hear you echoing, it's not me. I just turned on and off.
It's me. What do you mean?
Settle's causing problems here.
How am I causing the echo? Pumulani's saying
normal. I think we do know recently Man City have a track record of conceding a lot of goals, and West Ham aren't afraid to score them. So I think we're going to see a bit of a couple of goals. I know Settle's saying 2-1 to Man United, but I think it's going to be 2-1 the other way for West Ham. Wonga Denga? Have we lost Wonga Denga?
West Ham have been playing poorly of late. I think these guys are in the same boat. Can you guys hear me?
What do you mean you say they're playing poorly of late, bro? They lost their last game, then they won 3. Okay, carry on.
How is this? Every time I've looked at them, they've lost. My bad. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
No, internet, why?
Anyway, so we're going to move on then. We're just going to say, because Wonga's pretty face is, as long as that's still with us, the big game for the weekend, the Chelsea versus Spurs.
I'd say 2-2. I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I'd say a 2-2 draw.
Okay, for the Man United game.
Yeah.
We've got to work on this, get your modem there, Wonga. What's going on? Chelsea versus Spurs. Celo.
It's going to be a draw. This was going to be a draw, guys. Conte, listen there. Conte will not want to lose against his former team. Whatever happens in this game, guys, if you're betting people, bet that Spurs will not lose.
Yeah. I agree with you. Spurs aren't losing this game, no doubt. And yeah, Vardy is saying Spurs-Chelsea, interesting game. That could be anything. I think I agree with you. Spurs will not lose. And if anything, Chelsea find themselves in a terrible, terrible way. Some internal squabbling, like Mosa would say, with Lukaku and the rest. Yeah, I actually think it's going to be a Spurs victory. They're going to go there and they're going to pull one over Chelsea. And then there's going to be an inquisition in terms of what's going on. Lukaku, all of a sudden, Tuchel's as the manager is going to be questioned further in terms of, is he playing the right players, isn't he? So I think in terms of talking, rising from the ashes or becoming the ashes, I think Chelsea need to be very careful in terms of how this game goes. But I do think it's going to be a 1-0 victory to Spurs. And I think Kane's going to be the difference in the day.
I couldn't agree more.
I mean, Wayne Naidu agreeing as well. Clearly a man who knows what he's talking about. Pumlani saying, Pumlani can't, not letting go his Chelsea allegiance there, 2-1 to Chelsea. And then obviously Vard saying Tuchel's going to moan about that too many games. He also, interesting comment with him saying the other night, the players look tired. Who says the players look tired when you consider the fact that, you know, this is generally the case for the players in terms of the amount of travelling in the games. And if anything, they've been helped by one or two games not being played.
Ugh, man. You know, it's sometimes managers just come up with certain things, you know. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Wayne could also be friends with Mosa. Yeah. Lukaku should just go back to Inter.
What the heck? Do you know how many games we're going to play?
Yeah. Wonga, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, I think Wonga's just a pretty face for us until the end of the show here, Silo. So, final thoughts from our end before we wrap up and we go. What do you want to see tonight? What do you want to see on the weekend?
Is Liverpool not playing?
Yeah, they are. But I thought we'd already touched on the fact that Liverpool were playing tonight.
Oh, okay. I mean, Nah. Our show's an hour long.
Oh, now we're cutting. Now it's good to be punctual. When it's other things, no, let's keep talking. But when it comes to Liverpool's fixture for the weekend, let's end it. I think they're playing Palace on the weekend. So, I mean, just quick one. Do you think they're going to take Palace?
Yeah, obviously, man. Wait. Aye.
Is Mo Salah back?
I don't know.
That's Salah.
Is Salah back? No,
he's still playing.
Wonga, I love this. Just keep it coming because tonight, it's going to be so much sweeter when Liverpool pull one over without these players. But keep saying it. You've said this for how long? Whole of December, whole of October, November, all those months with no Salah, no Mane, Liverpool or nothing. The Liverpool are no pool is what you're saying. And now look, let's see what's going to happen tonight there. Pum's saying Arsenal. And
yes,
what he's saying for the final thoughts. Yeah. Definitely thinking that.
Away, Pum's.
Silo, what do you think? What's your final thoughts here?
Final thoughts. I think, guys, you know, I think it's it'll be interesting. This season is very interesting. I think, as I said in the last show, that I didn't realize that Chelsea might be pulled back into this top four race. You know, so yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And yeah, man, I think the football let it come. Obviously, we're going to have Champions League soon as well. Obviously, they'll throw off some teams in terms of testing their squads, and so on and so forth. And obviously, that will help Wanga and Spurs. Wanga's very excited about that. You know, I think it's good to see Wanga having a smile on his face, being a bit cocky. You know, last season we had a very subdued Wanga, very quiet Wanga. So this season is good to.
Definitely, he was close to being diagnosed with a psychiatrist just to cheer him up because Arsenal TV wasn't working and he was bringing that mood into our channel, and that's not the same channel, clearly. We diverse. We don't just focus on depression. Even though it is a serious topic and it needs addressing, we were trying to uplift his feelings, and unfortunately, I mean, there were times where it was very difficult, Wonga. So good to see that smile on your face. Also, Vardy saying he's going to be in that football banter giving you stick tonight. That's what he's aiming for. And also, just a reminder to everyone, if you haven't joined our Discord channel, the link is in the comments of the show. So join us there and be part of the conversation. Selo, you want to add anything from... I mean, Wonga, you still have to say your final thoughts. But Selo's very good at doing the commercial-esque sort of thing for Goal Lounge. So if there's anything you want
to... Those are my final thoughts.
Yeah, your final thoughts. I mean, we keep cutting out. Okay, but let's hear your final thoughts.
It's no Mane, no Salah, no win. Arsenal won't say.
It's actually better for you to say no Salah, no Mane. Or actually, yeah, no Mane, no Salah. Because without Mane, we're not going to get Salah to extend the contract. I like the way that... Anyway, there's something there. All something right, we can play with there. Settle. Final thoughts there from your side. Final thoughts.
Final. Now I'm doing final. Yeah, let's don't forget to like, subscribe, our YouTube channel, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Goal Lounge TV, as you can see it, guys, great content from the lads, as always. And now, obviously, as well, TikTok, guys, let's post, let's have a good time. Discord channel, let's come through as well, guys. You know what I mean? And obviously, the shirt that Wanga and Claudia are wearing, order, guys, order. It's selling hot.
You got like 40 left. Guys. Come on, 100.
Guys, there's like 40 left. As you can see, 60 have been sold. It's a family club. Join the family club, guys. If you're not going to join it, you're not a part of a family.
Thank you. I love that, Sid. All right, everybody, we'll see you on Tuesday. Enjoy the football. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
All right.